Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then once you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, hold that place and also grab 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Same book, just two different places. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to tell you this morning that, you know, the most important message that has ever been preached to man for the last 2,000 years is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's, after all, that's what saves a person. That's what gives a person hope when a person obeys that gospel. But probably the second most important message to ever be preached is actually to those who claim to be saved. And Paul kind of talks about this, both of these here in this passage. I'm just going to tell you this morning that if there's ever been a message where I'm going to ask that everybody, just for a few moments this morning, I want you to just to forget about what's going on at home. I want you to forget about what's going on in your lives. And I want you to pay attention to this message, because I'm just going to tell you that this is, the Lord has been working on my heart for this message for a long time. And I've been studying it, getting it prepared. And I'll be honest with you, I wished that, you know, we had a lot of people for the early service, and listen, we're not going to have the main service being at 8:30 ever in this church, okay? We're having that service because of the coronavirus. 9:30 will still remain our main worship service. But I wish that there were more people here this morning. There are a lot of people that are sick and a lot of people that were here during the first service, and they got to hear it. But I wish that there were more. This is one of those services, one of those messages that all of us need to listen to intently. It's important. So I'm just going to ask you this morning to forget about everything else, and I want you to concentrate on this message, because it is crucial that you get what this message has to say. Now, I want you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to look what Paul says in verse 17. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, flip over 8 chapters later when Paul is writing in the same letter to the same people. And he says this in chapter 13, verse 5. He says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. And I do pray, Lord, that this morning that everybody will be absolutely attentive to this message, that they'll listen to what is said, and that everybody in this room will examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Lord, it's so important for us to do that. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that you'll just speak to our hearts, give us conviction, and show us what needs to be shown to us. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. In the first verse that Paul talks about here, Paul is making it clear that when we were saved, we were changed. We were changed into a new creature. However, in just 8 chapters later, when writing to the same group here in Corinth, Paul tells them that they need to examine themselves to make sure that they were in the faith, make sure that they were saved, to make sure that they were new creatures in Christ, like he had talked about them being over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, when he says here, back in chapter 5, verse 17, when he says that you are a new creature in Christ, listen, folks, that word creature is the correct word. It's not you are a new creation in Christ, you are a new creature in Christ. Now, what's the difference? Well, if you're a new creation, then you're made totally new, brand new. Question, when you got saved, did this body change? No, the flesh stayed the same. This flesh is no different than it was before you got saved. But you're different on the inside. Now you're walking around with a live body, a live spirit, and a live soul. Before you were saved, you were walking around with a live body, a live soul, and a dead spirit. But you've been made alive. You've been quickened, according to what the Bible says. So now you're different than the majority of the people in this world, because the majority of the people in this world are walking around with a live body, a live soul, and a dead spirit because they're lost. But you're different. You're a new creature in Christ. You see, now you're walking around different than everybody else. You know, it's a strange thing how Christians sometimes, they try to act like the world. You're talking about people that stick out like a sore thumb. You're not the same as them. You're a different creature. And you kind of stick out when you try to live like the world. You know, the world looks at you and laughs. And Christians look at you and they're praying for you because you're out of place. But he says we're a new creature. But then just 8 chapters later, he says, you need to check yourself. You need to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Now, why do you suppose Paul would say such a thing? It's because in the church of Corinth, there were people who were professing to be saved who were not really saved. There were people who were living like the world and at the same time claiming that they were born again. And so Paul said, you better examine yourself and make sure that you're really saved. Paul was not trying to talk these people out of their salvation. He wasn't trying to get them to doubt the word of God or the teaching of eternal security. Instead, he loved these people and he wanted to make sure that all of them were really saved. And that's really the same intention that I have this morning preaching this message. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. Listen, if you're saved, you're saved. If you're going to heaven, you're going to heaven. I'm not trying to talk you out of that. I'm not trying to talk you out of the fact that once you're saved, you're placed in Christ and you will go to heaven one of these days. I'm not trying to talk you out of that. You know whether or not you're saved or not. But may I tell you that there are people today that claim to be Christian that are not Christian. And people have been like that for 2,000 years. Paul is writing this to the church of Corinth. And he's saying, listen, if you're saved, and by the way, he's writing to professing Christians. These people have already said that they believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, the moment you got saved, you were made a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. In other words, there should be a difference. And so he wants these people, the same people who say that they're a Christian, to understand there should be a difference. And therefore, he says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Now, he continues to say in that verse, he says, know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? He was saying that everyone can know for sure whether or not you're saved. Either you're saved and Christ is in you, or you're not and you're reprobate. There is no in-between. Either you're saved or you're not. Today, more than any other time, I believe, there are many who claim to be saved, but show so little evidence of that salvation by the way that they live their lives. In fact, it's almost impossible to distinguish between some of those people who profess to be Christian from those who flat out tell you that they're not saved at all. Many who say they're saved are outward, blatant sinners, showing little concern for spiritual things. I see this in young people. I see this in older people. I see this in people of all ages who claim that they're saved, but they have no desire for any godly things at all. It's like the Bible says that they've changed, that all things, that old things become, the new things, the Bible says that old things come about and things are supposed to change and we're supposed to be different. We're a new creature in Christ. The way we used to be is not the way we are now. There should have been a change somewhere. But there are Christians today who haven't changed at all. Professing Christians who haven't changed at all. So the question naturally arises, are all those who profess to be saved, all those who profess that they're Christians, are they all going to go to heaven when they die? And the answer is no. Many who call themselves Christians are in truth not saved at all. Now I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Matthew chapter 7. When we turn over there, I'm going to show you that the Lord makes this very clear too, that there are people out there who act like they're Christians, who say that they're Christians, who can sit there and tell you that they have obeyed the gospel, but really they haven't. In Matthew chapter 7, look if you would at verse 21. Jesus says there, Matthew 7, 21, see, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. In that verse, Jesus says, it's not the one who calls Jesus Lord who will enter into heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Now, what is the will of the Father? Well, the will of the Father for all men, is that for them to be saved. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will for everybody to be saved. That's what God wants, is everybody to be saved. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It is the will of God for every man to be saved. Question, does everybody get saved? No, but that's God's will. Now here, remember what Jesus said. Jesus said back here in Matthew 7:21, he says, not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. You know what he's saying? He's saying, it doesn't matter how much you say, Lord, Lord. It doesn't matter how much you come to church at Graceway Baptist Church. It doesn't matter the good deeds you do. It doesn't matter. You can tell everybody to your blue in the face that you're going to heaven because you obeyed the gospel. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is, did you do the will of Father? Did you receive Jesus Christ? That's the thing that's what's going to get you there, folks. But there are people today who are pretending. There are people today who say, I've received Jesus Christ. I've done this. And they'll even profess that they're saved, but that doesn't mean they're saved. And I'm going to tell you something. I'd be a fool to think that on rapture day that every seat in this church would be empty. I hope that's true. I hope that the rapture happens right now, that all we have is just these red chairs. I don't want to see anybody sitting there, but I'd be a fool to think that, because even Jesus said there are people out there that are saying, Lord, Lord, and they're not going to make it because they haven't done the will of the Father. And so Jesus is teaching there that there are people who are really saved, who have obeyed the gospel, and there are people who profess to be saved and call him Lord, Lord, but they have not obeyed the Father. Now here in Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 22. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. Lord, do you remember I was in church every Sunday? Lord, do you remember that I served in the church? I did this, I might have cleaned this, I might have replaced the flowers sitting up here. Lord, don't you remember that? It's not going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is, did you do the will of the Father? Did you really get saved? He's saying there's a day coming when all secrets are going to be revealed. There's a day of reckoning. He says that there are going to be people right now who claim to be believers, who act like they're serving the Lord, but God knows the whole time whether or not they're saved or lost. And he says that when that day comes, those people who only profess to be saved will get the same punishment as all unsaved people. And that's, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Look at verse 24 in Matthew chapter 7. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. He's saying, if you're pretending to be saved, if you're only professing to others that you're saved, then you better do the wise thing and get saved now and make Jesus your foundation for real. Otherwise, you're a fool. Now, how can we know for sure that we're really saved? How can we tell if we just have head knowledge or if we're really born again child of God? You say, well, what in the world are you talking about with head knowledge? That gospel says this. That gospel says that you must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. That means you got to recognize that you're a sinner. You got to recognize that you're guilty. The wages of sin is death. And you got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. That's the gospel we're supposed to believe. Okay. There are people today that just have head knowledge of that. In other words, they read their Bible, they read that, and they say, okay, yep, I believe that. But it's more than that. You see, when you receive Jesus Christ, you have to believe that and you have to trust in that to get you to heaven. In other words, just reading the words there, that's not going to do it. Just saying, well, I believe that Jesus Christ, you know, died and he was buried and rose again the third day. The devils know that, folks. I mean, the devil right now, would you agree the devil knows that Jesus Christ died on that cross for the sins of all men? He knows that. Do you think the devil knows right now that he was buried? Sure, the devil knows that. Do you think that the devil is unaware that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and is seated on the right hand of the Father right now? Of course he knows that. The devils believe and they tremble. You say, well, then wait a second. Aren't I supposed to believe that? Listen, you're not only supposed to believe that, but you're supposed to trust, and that's what's going to get you to heaven. In other words, you're saying, listen, when Jesus Christ died, he died for my sins. When Jesus Christ was buried, he rose again. That means I'm going to raise again, and I'm going to trust in what he did and what he did on the cross to get me to heaven. That's what's going to get me there. That's how a person gets saved. Now, here's what people do. People will say, well, I got saved. Well, how did you get saved? Well, I remember I prayed the prayer, brother. I prayed the prayer. May I tell you something? If you prayed the prayer, that's great. That's great. But praying a prayer never saved anybody in that Bible. You know what saved them in that Bible from cover to cover? Belief. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saved them. Now, I'll be the first to admit that there are many preachers in the world today that have messed up the lives of people, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and just tell you that there are people probably in hell today because the devil deceived them in the thinking that a prayer saved them. Do you realize, you say, well, wait a second, Pastor, it says right there in Romans chapter 10 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a prayer. Amen, that is a prayer. But what came first? You see, that's down the line. You read before that, what happened? That you had to believe unto righteousness. You see, you had to believe that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. You got to believe he died for your sins. You got to believe he was buried and rose again the third day. You got to believe that. And if you believe that, then you're going to call upon him and pray the prayer. What saved you? Not the prayer. It was the belief. Hey, listen, if you go back there, remember Noah, when God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark because I'm going to flood the whole earth. It had not even rained at that time. I mean, before that time, there was mist that was watering the earth, and they hadn't even rained. And there's Noah saying, hearing the Lord say, it's going to rain, and I'm going to flood the whole earth. You talking about faith. I mean, would you agree that Noah had to believe God wholeheartedly before he ever started building a boat? I mean, a boat for what? There weren't even lakes. The Lord says, I'm going to flood the whole earth. He had to believe first, and then he had to obey God and build that boat. And I'm going to tell you this morning that when a preacher gets up here and says, well, now, if you just say this prayer, you could be saved. How many of you have said that prayer? Repeat after me. Hey, if you think that prayer saved you, then why don't you start flicking those beads on the rosary too while you're at it? Because a prayer doesn't save you. It's belief that saves you. And there are young people, there are older people today in churches who say, you know what, I prayed the prayer. But they really never believed. They repeated after what that preacher said. When the preacher said, repeat after me. Now, if you said that prayer, you're saved. How many of you got saved? How many of you know preachers that do that? Hey, listen, folks. That is not going to save anybody. That's the reason when we witness to people, it's not about repeating after me. In fact, I'm just going to tell you, when I witness to people, I tell them that they're a sinner. I show them in the Bible, the Bible says that they're a sinner. And then I give them the good news of the gospel. I show them what the wages of sin is. I show them what they're going to face if they die in their sins. And then I give them the good news of the gospel. And then I tell them, when you receive Jesus Christ, in order to receive him, you've got to believe that what he did on the cross, that's what's going to get you to heaven. The devils do not believe that. They don't believe that. But that's how you're supposed to believe. Is that's what's going to get you to heaven. That is true salvation. Therefore, when it comes time for them to pray, I tell them, you must believe that. Do you believe that? I ask them first, do you believe that? And then if they say, yes, I believe it. I say, do you believe it with all your heart? Yes. Is that what you're counting on to get you to heaven? Yes, it is. Then I say, then why don't you bow your head right now and ask the Lord to forgive you? If a person does that, now he's saved. That's the reason we need to spend more time with people. It's not saying, hey, you believe you're a sinner? Then repeat after me. Nonsense. Nonsense. There are people in churches today that believe they're saved when they're not really saved. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Sure. Hey, listen, folks. There are people today who believe false gospels, and they're just as genuine, and they believe just as much that they're going to heaven on a false gospel as you believe today. Don't you know that there are Catholics today that if you ask them, are you going to heaven, or what do you think it takes in order to get to heaven, they'll tell you that, and they're just as genuine what they believe as you are. You ask a Jehovah's Witness, or you ask the Seventh-day Adventist, or you ask any of those people, you say, what does it take to get to heaven? They're just as genuine about it as you are. You ask a Muslim today. What does it take to get up there with those 70 virgins? You know what he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you what it takes, and he's just as genuine about it, and he believes it just as much as you believe what you believe. They're deceived. Just because you believe something doesn't mean what you believe is right. And so they're deceived. And the devil is very good about deceiving people. In fact, the Bible says that he deceives the whole world. He deceives the minds of people. And there are Christians, no doubt in my mind, there are Christians sitting in churches all across America today who thinks they're going to heaven because they repeated some prayer. And they're not really saved. Now, I'm just going to tell you this morning that when Paul wrote what he wrote, when he said that you're a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new, and then he goes over here and says, examine himself. Does it make sense that there's a way to tell if you're saved by how that you're different than what you once were? That's what Paul is trying to show us. And so this morning I want us to look at what the Bible says that should be different, because after all, we are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we should feel different about a few things. There should be some things different about us. In other words, let's say that you came down last week and you got saved. The moment you got up, nobody's expecting you to be the perfect Christian. You're a babe in Christ. If you cussed before you got saved, you're probably going to cuss a little bit after you get saved too. We need to give you grace on that. We need to tell you, don't say those type of words. Okay, I understand that. You may have some habits that you have after you got saved that you had before you got saved. As you grow, those habits will, you know, if you're growing in Christ, those habits will take care of themselves. The Lord will give you power to give over those things. But would you agree with me this morning that if you came down here and before you were saved, and Paul said that the moment you got saved, you became a new creature, behold, all things are passed away, all things become new, that the moment that you receive Jesus Christ and you believe on him, do you agree that something should be different about you after you got saved than it was before you got saved? Would you agree with that this morning? There should be a difference. Why? Because we're new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so there should be some things different. One thing that should be different, according to scriptures, if you're truly saved this morning, and not just saying that you're saved, if you're really saved, one thing that should be different is that you should feel different about your sins. You should feel different about your sins. In John 3:19, Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Listen, when Jesus came into this world, he was the light. This world was darkness, and men's deeds were evil. Men dark. Do you realize before you were saved, you had no light? But the moment you were saved, Jesus Christ, the light of life, went in you, and now you have the light of Christ within you. That therefore you are different. Okay? You are a new creature. You no longer have the darkness, you have light. Now, yes, you have two natures. You have your fleshly nature and you have a spiritual nature. You have the Holy Spirit of God within you. But there is still light within you, so you're different. An unsaved man loves sin. Remains unsaved, sometimes due in part because he refuses to give up his sins. And the love of sin in the world is a mark of a lost man. But the Bible clearly teaches that when a man is saved, his life is drastically changed. He has a different attitude toward sin. Rather than loving sin, rather than wanting to sin, a saved person understands that sin was why he was condemned in the first place. And he understands that by believing in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he's been forgiven of those sins. And now every time a saved person sins, he's ashamed and he's heartbroken. Now I'm just going to tell you folks that there was a time in my life that I got away from the Lord for about 10 years. And in that time, you couldn't have looked at me and known that I was a Christian. Really, you couldn't have. I was way away from the Lord. But I will tell you, as God is my witness, I remember every night I would lay in bed and I would keep on saying, and I'd think about the things I did that day. And I'd say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me." I was scared. I was too proud to get right, but I was scared, and I knew what I did was wrong. I had the Holy Spirit of God inside of me convicting me for everything that I did. A saved person will have that, but a lost person ain't going to have that. Why? I'm a new creature. You see, when I got saved, something changed on the inside. I got the Holy Spirit of God put within me. And now, from that point on, from the time I got saved to the time that, until the day of redemption, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit of God within me, and the Lord is not just going to let me go out there and live any way I want to without giving me some sort of conviction. Let me ask you something. As a mom and as a dad today, would you let your kid just absolutely live a lawless life, do anything they want to without standing up, speaking up, and saying something about it? In other words, if your child picked up a glass and drank water and go, ha, psh, and throws it on the ground, would you sit there and say, oh, isn't that just wonderful? No, you'd say something. You'd say, that's wrong. You shouldn't have done that. And if they continue to do it, you're going to chasten them. Amen. You're not going to just let them just do whatever they want to do and not say anything about it. God's not going to do that either. God's not going to let you do it. He's not going to let a child of his just go live any way they want to and not say anything about it. He's going to convict you. He's given you that Bible. The Bible is like a mirror, and the Holy Spirit of God uses that word to convict us, to show us that we have sin in our lives. And sometimes it's that still small voice. And the Lord is saying, you're messing up, Bob. You need to straighten up here. This is you. You're holding sin in your life. And he's not going to stop. He's going to continue to convict me over those things. He did for 10 years. He's never going to stop. Because he wants us to live right. He wants us to represent him well. He wants us to act like children of God that we are. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you still feel about sin the same way you did before you got saved, to where you're totally indifferent to it, you can do this, you get no conviction, just keep on doing it. You have no conviction over sin at all, no more than what you did before you got saved, you got up, and after you got saved, it's the same. No more conviction, nothing. I'm not saying that you can't get away from God. I'm not saying that. Any Christian can do that. Any Christian can get away from the Lord. And you may sin, you may live in sin. Certainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a man who in the church who was saved, called him a brother. He was living in sin. They had to get him out of the church. But what I am saying is this, there's a difference between being backslidden and being a professing Christian who's not saved. Here's the difference. A person who is backslidden, a Christian who's backslidden, when that person got saved, when he stood up, he realized he was saved, and a great burden was lifting off his shoulders, and he was perfect fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ at that moment. He was filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment. There was a change. But then later on, he started looking at the things of the world, and he started to live more like the world than being a Christian. And so now, he's not living right. But still deep down, he knows that he's wrong because he has the Holy Spirit of God within him convicting him of that. That's a backslidden Christian. But a person who professes to be a Christian who's not a Christian is a person who, when they say they got saved, there was never a change at all. Never a change. Their feeling about sin never changed one bit from the time of the day before they got saved or after they said they got saved. It never changed. Behold, old things are past, all things become new. We're different. Things should be different. And one way that is different is that we should feel different about sin. We should feel different about our sins. But there are many Christians today, or professing Christians, who do not feel any different about their sins than they did before they ever got saved. There's also another way we can tell we're saved, and that is not only how we feel about sin, but how we should feel different in the way we live. You know, it's an interesting thing that in many cases the world accepts a better standard of conduct for the Christian than many who profess to be the children of God. If you ask the average man on the street, if you were just to walk downtown Great Falls today and you were just to start asking people, just randomly people, and you ask them, you know, should Christians drink? Should they use profanity? Should they be immoral? Should they lie? Should they cheat? Should they gamble? Should they steal? Nearly everybody, even lost people, say, not if you're a Christian. Christians aren't supposed to do things like that. Isn't it a strange thing how sometimes the world can be wiser than Christians or those who profess to be Christians. Yet there are so many Christians today, or people who call themselves to be Christians, who think nothing of doing some of those things. They think nothing of drinking or using profanity, or be it living immoral lives, or lie or cheat or gamble. They even go as far as thinking some of those things are funny. They even go as far as thinking some of those things are entertaining. You see, they don't really care about how they live. And it appears the lost world in some cases have a better understanding of what God meant when God said, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sin against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which we have of God, and ye are not your own?" Do you realize that there are some lost people today that understand that better than professing Christians do? Some Christians do. God dwells within us, and he commands us to live pure lives and keep our physical bodies pure. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 that the child of God should abstain from all appearance of evil. That Bible says that not only should we not do evil things, but if it looks like it's evil, we shouldn't do it. Why? Because you're representing Jesus Christ. So even if it looks like it, even looks like it's evil, don't do it, because you're going to bring a reproach to his name. But that's how a real Christian thinks. That's not how a professing Christian who's not really saved thinks. A professing Christian today who's really not saved, they really don't care about the things of God. They don't care about living a holy life. They don't care about bringing reproach upon the name of Jesus Christ. They don't care about those things. You know why? They didn't care about before they got saved, and nothing changed. There's not a person in this room before you got saved loved Jesus Christ. If the Bible even says that. No, you say, "Oh, I did." No, you didn't. You didn't care about Jesus Christ before you got saved. You did not love Jesus Christ before you got saved. You were not thankful for Jesus Christ before you got saved. But since you have been saved, you did. And so what did you do? You started trying to live for him. But a lost person today is not going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't see the importance of that, because their opinion about him and opinion about their sins, their opinion about godly things never changed. Never changed. And so they just go on, live their lives like they did. You realize that there are some people today, folks, that they look at salvation as a get-out-of-hell-free card. You know, we do people that play Monopoly knows what I'm talking about. Get out of jail free, but this is get out of hell free. Now, I understand that when a person gets saved, that truly he is saved from sin and the wages of that sin, and he is saved from hell. And if you're truly saved this morning, not even the smoke of hell will be upon your clothes when you get there. You will not be in hell at all if you're saved, you're truly saved. But there are professing Christians today who have it in their head. They're living a certain way, they're unsaved, and somebody gets up and hands them a tract. Maybe it's this your life tract, or begins to witness to them and talks about hell, and they get scared. And then they say, "You know what? I think I better do whatever it takes to get out of hell." So then they say, "Okay, what do I need to do?" "Well, you need to repeat this prayer, or you need to do this, or you need to do that." And they do that. And then they say, "Okay, now back to life. Back to the way it was. I'm good. I'm not going to hell. Now, what was I doing? What immoral life was I living? Let's get back to that." May I tell you, if that's you this morning, I'm just going to tell you, you never got saved. There has to be a change. There has to be some things that are different about you. You cannot just sit there and say, "Okay, well, I cross my T's, I dotted my I's, make sure I'm not going to hell, and back to life as normal." No, wait a second. That Bible says you're supposed to be different than what you were. You're not the same. But there are people today that think that they're going to heaven because they got the get out of hell free card, but they never truly believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ to get them to heaven. They just did what somebody told them to do, whether it be praying a prayer or whatever it may have been. And folks, I'm just going to tell you that Paul says that if that's you, you better examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. You better examine yourself. Why? Because there should be a difference in the way you view your sins. There should be a difference in the way you live. hey, just the very fact that you have faith, if you have faith, is going to change the way you live. Turn over, hold your place here and turn over to James chapter 2 real quick. James chapter 2. The book of James teaches this too. You can't be saved and live the same way as you did before you got saved. There has to be a change sometime. In James chapter 2, look what it says in verse 18. It says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And what is he saying? He's saying that if you're truly saved, you're going to feel different about some things. That the fact that you sin is going to hurt you. It's going to shame you. You're going to feel sorry for it. You're going to want to live differently because you want to please the God who saved you. You're going to think differently. The fact that you're saved, your works are going to follow that. But it's for a person to say, well, you know, I'm saved, I have faith, but then nothing ever changes. That would be like Noah saying, I believe you, God, but I ain't building a boat. I believe you, God, but you know, I'm not going to build a boat. It'd be the same thing. If you truly believe in God, if you truly have been saved, you're really trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, some things are going to be different. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The Bible says that a person who is truly saved will experience a new life. And this new life is walking in the light. There should have been change. A true child of God will want to serve the Lord. And sin will not have dominion over him. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin. It means that sin will not have dominion over you if you're truly saved. You'll want to serve the Lord. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The genuineness of a person's profession of faith is seen in how he lives. A genuine faith is a faith that works a change in a person's life. Things should be different the moment that person gets saved. And salvation is a matter of a changed heart. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. True salvation is a heart salvation. Profession made with the mouth is invalid unless it comes from a changed heart. So therefore, Paul says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Because a genuine child of God is no longer what he was before he got saved. He's now different. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And because he has changed, he feels different about his sins. He feels different about how he's living. And then the last thing, a real Christian feels different about the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, before you were saved, you thought nothing about the Lord. You didn't care about reading his words. You didn't care about praying or talking to him. You had no desire to spend time with him. I'm just going to tell you today that if you're here this morning and you have no desire to pray, you have no desire to read your Bible, you have no desire to spend time with the Lord, I want you to ask yourself this question. Did you ever have a desire to do those things? Did you ever have a desire to read your Bible more or to pray? Or do you have the same desire to pray and read your Bible and serve the Lord as you did before you got saved, which was absolutely zero? Listen, folks, the way you feel about Jesus Christ should have changed somewhat. He's the one who saved you. He's the one. You say, I believe he died on the cross for my sins. Wouldn't that mean that you would think a little different about him after you got saved than before you got saved? Turn over, you would, over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And look at verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1, look what it says. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door of the shepherd, by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Once a person is saved, they're like sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd and follow the shepherd's voice. And Jesus was clearly teaching here that his sheep will follow him, and they will not habitually follow the world or the devil. Why? Because they're the Lord's sheep. They know his voice, and they're going to follow him. A saved man knows he's a sinner, and he begs God for mercy. However, the religious unsaved man will enjoy his sin and will greatly be offended if somebody suggests that he's even sinning. If a man is truly saved, Christ will be evident in his life. If he's lost, then sin will be the pattern of how he lives. And it doesn't start out of the clear blue. It never changed from being the pattern that he once lived. But if you're truly saved, you're going to know the voice of the shepherd. If you're truly saved, at some point, from the time you got saved to where you are right now, at some point, there should have been a time in your life when you said, you know what? I just want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to read my Bible. Listen, when you were saved, I guarantee you people did not have to try to talk you into reading your Bible at that point. And if they did, you might want to examine yourself to see if you're truly in the faith. What I'm trying to say is this, folks. The moment you got saved, if you're truly saved, Jesus Christ meant everything to you at that moment. I have never met a person who was truly saved who did not want to learn more about Jesus Christ after they got saved. I never met a person that got saved, truly got saved, who said, no, I don't really think about praying to Jesus. No, listen, they just prayed. They got saved. They believed upon him. They want to talk to him. Now, maybe over time, you know, they start drifting away from the Lord. Maybe that those things change. But at least at one point, they wanted to pray. At one point, they wanted to hear preaching. At one point, they wanted to come to church. At one point, they wanted to read their Bible. At one point, they did. It's those people that are saved. But if you are here this morning and you've never had that, if you never had a desire to read your Bible, never had a desire to pray, never had a desire to come to church unless somebody makes you come to church, may I tell you, you need to examine yourself to see if you're truly in the faith. Because some things should have changed. You heard me say at the beginning of this message that this is probably the second most important message that's ever been preached. And I don't know why the Lord laid on my heart, but I'm just going to tell you, he did. I believe, honestly, I do believe this. I believe that there are people in this church, Graceway Baptist Church, right now, who if you ask them, are you saved? They'll say, yep, sure am. But they have no fruits at all. None. They don't have a desire to spend time with the Lord. They've never changed in the way they thought about the way they thought about sin. That never changed. Their love for the Lord, there was no love for the Lord. It was the same before they got saved, after they got saved. Their desire to live right, only because they're being made to. I really believe that there are people right now in this church who say they're saved, but they're not. They're not. Why? There was never a change. But I will tell you this. Anybody in this church right now can be saved. But you need to understand something. If nothing changed, then you are not a new creature. If you're not a new creature, then according to that Bible, you're reprobate. You're lost. And you may be one of those people that said, you know what, I heard about hell and it scared me to death, so I got my get out of hell free card. And then I went back to life as normal. May I tell you something, folks? If that's you, you think you have something that you don't have. You think you do. You've been deceived. The only thing that will get you to heaven is for you to truly trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on that cross and believe with all your heart that that's what's going to get you there. And if you've done that, there should have been a change somewhere. You should have changed different how you felt about sin. It should have changed how you felt about how to live. It should have changed how you felt about the Savior. And if you're here this morning and you said none of those things changed, Paul says you need to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. So that's what I'm going to ask all of you to do this morning. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Because quite frankly, you can talk until you're blue in the face and tell everybody about how saved you are. But you know if there's never been a change, you know that that Bible is speaking to you. And the Lord says there's a day coming when those people who said, Lord, Lord, we've done this for you, we've done all these good deeds, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And into the lake of fire they'll go. Now, why in the world would you let something like that happen to you? Why in the world wouldn't you just trust in Jesus Christ today and become a new creature? Let's stand.